Among many other things, the pandemic has forced those of us who work in an office environment to consider what makes the most sense when it comes to comfort level, safety, and how efficient we are at our jobs. Despite some efforts by designers and, in some cases, employers, the office area has rarely been one that makes us feel good, mentally or physically. A new report indicates that can be the case, though, if a commitment is made by companies and businesses to elements like natural light and clean indoor air. Maybe the workspace could even be a healing space. Dr. Esther Sternberg is a professor of medicine at the University of Arizona and research director of the Andrew Weil Center. Altaf Engineer is an assistant professor of architecture at the U of A. They are the lead authors on a new paper on designing healthier office spaces, and they're with me. Dr. Sternberg, I'll start with you. So for many people, the office environment is like one of fluorescent lights. How does that translate into a healing place?
Our goal is to get rid of that image of the you said fluorescent lights, but often it's a dark, dank, musty, high wall cubicle office space where people are crammed in like sardines. Our image, our vision is to change that so that office spaces are places of well-being and, as you said, healing places. Now, how can you do that? Well, there are elements of the built environment that can either stress or can support well-being.
Some work environments are extremely difficult, though, because of how they affect mental health, and that could be perhaps because of a manager who doesn't emphasize or care about something, like making the atmosphere one that's more comfortable or safer. So how much can a person do individually to overcome that, Dr. Sternberg, and help the workplace be more a place of healing?
Well, there are many, many stressors. You just outlined them that can happen during the day. And we call the load of stress allostatic load. So if you imagine when you wake up in the morning and you have an empty sack on your back, and every single little and big stressor you put into that sack, and by the end of the day, you are weighed down by that heavy load of stress. And it can be, you know, the interactions with your coworkers, it could be your boss, it could be something that's going on at home, it could be fear of loss of job, it could be financial worries, especially now during COVID. Every single one of those stressors goes into that sack that then weighs you down. And what we know from a wealth of literature for at least three decades is that chronic stress, that load of stress, predisposes to illness. It makes people more likely to get sick if they are exposed to a virus. If you go to get a vaccine, you have a lower take rate or less efficacy of that vaccine. And it's not that stress causes the virus, it's that it impairs your body's ability to fight that infection, to make the antibodies that will protect you from that infection. So what can an individual do about this? You can't get rid of all these stressors, but to the extent that the built environment can contribute to those kinds of stressors, not necessarily to how your boss treats you, but certainly the design of the built environment. We know from studies that I carried out with the U.S. General Services Administration that builds and operates all non-military federal buildings for over 1.1 million federal workers. We know with using wearable devices in the built environment in office spaces in the federal workforce that the design of the office space can either contribute to stress or can ameliorate stress. So open office design with lots of air, good airflow and light and beautiful views, and ability to move and choose many different kinds of spaces to work in. We found that workers in those kinds of spaces were 30% more active than people in private offices, 20% more active than people in cubicles. And the people who were more active during the day were significantly less stressed at night. So we know that the design of an office space can help reduce stress or it can contribute to stress. Now, if we go back to the concept of chronic stress predisposing to worse illness, to the extent that you can design the office space to reduce that stress, you will help make people more resilient to protect them from whatever insult they're exposed to.
Altaf, let's get you into the conversation. Let's talk about your area of expertise, architectural design. And I want to focus on natural light. Why is that important? And what's being done to advance that and innovate it more?
From the point of view of natural lighting, some of the most successful designs are those that not only bring the light in, but also control it very effectively. What happens most often in Phoenix or Tucson is that we get a large amount of glare from direct light, you know, entering through the windows at different times of day, or from reflections on the outside entering into the building through those windows. So there's the architectural elements that could control the natural light coming in different ways, make it more uniform, moderate it in different ways. And there's the environmental controls that are made available to you from the inside of those office spaces. And in terms of made available to you, it's a question of whether you can actually control them or do you want to actually control them. For example, it's a common area, it's an open office layout. Do you really want to draw the blinds or roll them up when you know, you want some more natural light, given the fact that you may be disturbing everybody else? So, you know, there's that hesitation in terms of environmental control that comes in, right? So there's a tendency to just leave it the way it is. And that's why, you know, these strategies are seldom successful. What is successful is a lot of automation. So photoreceptors in blinds in which they could roll up or roll down in relation to the glare that's coming in, or the ability to have circadian lighting, which in our research has proven to be very successful in regulating our daily circadian rhythms, you know, our natural sleep and wake cycles. So it is a little more blue during the day and early afternoon, and then gets a bit warmer towards the evening and the night. So this is a newer model of electrical lighting, but many workspaces are now embracing these because they have a direct impact on work performance and satisfaction.
Can the lighting you're talking about be tailored to each individual to help each person be the most effective they can be?
You could individualize the task lighting in many different ways. So the task lighting is, you know, the lamp that you have on your desk or the lighting in your cubicle itself, which could have a big impact. You don't need task lighting for many tasks, you know, reading a book, or the light, the ambient light may not always be enough to do the task that you need to do. So you could individualize it in that aspect. But the other thing we suggest is also having, you know, activity-based flexible layouts in the office. So not being stuck in the cubicle itself. So do you have the ability to get out of the cubicle, maybe get into a private office space for some time, or sit in a lounge that has more comfortable seating, or maybe step outdoors? You know, those the availability of those options has become more critical, as highlighted, you know, by the pandemic or, you know, post COVID-19 workplace scenarios.
And Dr. Sternberg, let me wrap it up with this. Is this a situation where, as employers have lost more employees, that this will help get workers wanting to return to the office? Is it in fact a necessity for that?
It is an absolute necessity. And you know, I've been working on this for 20 years with the U.S. General Services Administration, designing spaces for people's health and well-being, not just physical health, but emotional health, mental health. And it has become an imperative. So designing the office space now to reduce the risk of viral spread is extremely important. At the beginning of the pandemic, you heard all over the news media about ventilation, how ventilation has to be improved. And that is absolutely essential. You must design the workspace to reduce the risk of viral spread, to be able to spread out so that people are not in such close contact. But if you don't at the same time design the office space to enhance well-being, people will not want to go back to work. Do you want to go back to a workspace with 6-foot high cubicle walls, poor ventilation, musty, smelly air? Absolutely not. So the office space of the future must incorporate all of these elements of integrative health to enhance well-being. Otherwise, people will not want to go back to work. And in fact, there are some recent surveys that have been reported in the media saying that one of the main reasons that they're two of the main reasons why employees are leaving certain organizations is they want spaces that are supportive of well-being and are assured of safety.
That is Dr. Esther Sternberg, professor of medicine at the University of Arizona and research director of the Andrew Weil Center. I also spoke with Altif Engineer, an assistant professor of architecture at the U of A. And you are listening to the show.